how did it turn into this? You know, and then I thought, well, I've never seen it. I mean, I don't see these in the zoo. I don't see them in my backyard. Where did these all go? So I asked my mom, Mom, where did these come from? And she said, well, let's talk to the museum attendant, because the museum attendant knows everything because they were there back then, right? So we did, and she took my hand excuse me, my son has some questions. Where did this come from? And so she said, well, this dinosaur is an ancient reptile, and it evolved from another reptile millions of years ago. And then I said, how did it turn into this? This is called a fossil. Okay, but how did it turn into this? Fossils form over millions of years as minerals replace the original bone. So you're looking at a bunch of rocks in the shapes of all the dinosaurs' bones. Okay, where did they go? Why are they no longer here? I asked. And then she said, well, they died millions of years ago. So all three answers had millions of years. And I thought, well, the museum attendant must know what she's talking about. So that's what I believed. So I believed it for years and years and years, all my life. That's all I had ever been told. It's all I had ever been taught. It's all I was exposed to. And then I was exposed to the Bible. And I looked in the Bible, and I could not find those millions of years that the museum attendant and the PBS and my teachers and my parents all told me existed. I didn't see it in the Bible, but I knew that there was truth in the Bible. I could see the truth that was in there. It had a ring to it, and it spoke to my soul, and I trusted Christ, but I had this confusion, and it was kind of a pain. And Boy, I wish I had been told some of the things that I've learned since then. A friend of mine, years later, this is when I'm in college, challenged me, and he said, Brian, you should read creation science material. And I thought, creation science? Isn't that the same as quack science? I'm not going to read that. No, you should read it. And he bothered me and bothered me until I finally read creation science, and what I found was I had not been told. And so all the confusion and the doubting God's word, because it didn't have the same doctrines that I was taught in science class. It didn't have the same history that was taught in science class. That gave me some confusion. And all that confusion and doubting God's word, it was lifted. It was lifted away because I was shown evidence from the sciences that the museum attendants never shown me. And so that's why I'm so excited tonight, because I get to show you some of these evidences so that you can go back and say they're wrong about the millions of years, and they really are wrong about it. And I'm going to give you two specific reasons why from science. And you're going to be able to say, you know, God is not just a God who's able to write a book that has a couple of errors in it. God is a God who can write a book with zero errors. God is able to write a book that is totally trustworthy. That's what I'm all about. Because it's through God's word that we get to know God. And it's through knowing God that we fulfill the very purpose for which we were created, which is to know God and enjoy Him forever. That's really what it's kind of. We're going to talk about dinosaurs, but there's a lot bigger, deeper issues, aren't there, below dinosaurs. So there's a lot of confusion in the church. A lot of Christians believe a lot of weird things. But that's because I think they haven't been shown some of these clues. So I would like to show you five clues tonight. Five clues. And I think that that every Christian can make sense of dinosaurs and the evidence that they present in light of Scripture by following these five clues. Are you ready for the five clues? You don't sound ready at all. I'm going to make you ready. Clue number one, say it out loud, clever design. Okay, very good. So the reason I wanted to start with this clue is because I was speaking on dinosaurs at a church, and of course the guy comes up after my talk, and he's confused about dinosaurs, and he says, I have a master's degree like you do, and I agree with a lot of the things you're saying, and I'm a Christian too, but there's things I disagree with about it. And he had this furrowed brow. He was kind of a character, but you know, he talked like this the whole time. And he said, I think that Satan made the dinosaurs.
Satan? What?
Satan made the dinosaurs. I didn't know Satan could make living creatures. I thought that was pretty much God's prerogative. So I asked him, what makes you believe that? Where do you get evidence for that? And so he said, well, their bodies were misshapen. They were crooked. The legs were too short and the necks were too long and they probably walked crooked and stuff like this. And they were misshapen. And so I said, which dinosaurs were misshapen? Can you give me more information on this? It's news to me that Satan made misshapen dinosaurs. Never heard that one. And so he said, well, I read it on an internet article. I read it on the internet. You know, internet. It's got a fount of all wisdom. So I read the internet article afterwards. And, oh boy, was it garbage. It was just some guy talking is all it was. You know, kind of like me. Wait a minute. No, it was not founded on science. And I began to reinvestigate dinosaurs thinking, are they really misshapen? So the clue that I began to uncover when I studied dinosaur design in more detail is design. It's clever design. And so what you're looking at here is a... is there a way to turn off these can lights in the back? Possibly? Might make that appear a little... more clear for the audience. Is that better? Okay, thank you, sir. So this is an Allosaurus. You're welcome to say the names. These are fun to say, the dinosaur names. Allosaurus. Yeah, and so he's a theropod dinosaur. So with three big toes and, you know, he walks like this. And so he's like a miniature T-Rex. Miniature, he's only 4 tons. Some of these other dinosaurs were a lot bigger, though. Here's Argentinosaurus, and you'll never guess what country they found this one in. You know, but they actually only found a few vertebrae and a hip and a few of the neck vertebrae. The rest is reconstructed. I think it's a pretty reasonable reconstruction, even though there's only a small percentage of the actual bones that were recovered. But from those few bones that were recovered, we know this thing was enormous. You might even call it the chief of the ways of God, or the works of God, the biggest thing God may have ever designed, if indeed he designed it. And I think he did because of the clever design features that these sauropod dinosaurs had. Remember, theropod, 2 legs. Sauropod, 4 legs. By the way, this is the part where we get to be interactive. What's the difference between a dinosaur reptile and a lizard reptile? Hand in the back, say it out loud, sir. Right. Hey, students! Hey! Is that what you were thinking? Is that what you were thinking? Everyone, no, because you were thinking dinosaurs were bigger, weren't you? Yeah. And so you stole my thunder, hey, student. I don't appreciate that. No, that's fine. So yeah, and that's right. Okay, so what he's saying is that lizards, crocodiles, modern reptiles, the leg goes out from the body, then down. Okay? So they kind of waddle when they walk, like that. But dinosaurs, legs go straight down from the hips or from the shoulder girdle. Legs straight down. And so that's one of the major differences between reptile dinosaurs and reptile lizards. So, you see it? Legs straight down. Let's zoom in on this sauropod dinosaur. In fact, I want to look at the hip structure, and I want you to notice a clever design in this hip, and that is the arch. And what a grand demonstration of an arch right here. Arches are clever designs. I mean, you put weight on top of it, and the weight gets distributed out to the ends where it's held up by pillars. Now look at this. The weight of this dinosaur is held up by this mobile pillar. A mobile pillar. That's what the legs were. And by the way, sauropod dinosaurs had lockable legs. Theropod dinosaurs' legs were always bent, you know, so they could leap. I'm jumping at you because you're like, oh, I'm not impressed. I'm working on you, man. So the sauropod would stand in one place, and with this 30-foot-long neck, He could chew all the leaves off this branch and then chew all the leaves off this branch the whole time just standing there. And he could eat a whole tree in a few minutes and then take a few steps and eat another tree. All because he's supported by this arch. Look, it's the same thing. You've got an arch with a pillar on either side. This is the temple of Dionysus here in Ephesus. And Paul the Apostle may have looked at this arch when he was in Ephesus 2,000 years ago, back when it had a heavy roof. But an arch is such a clever design and such a well thought through design that it still stands today, even after these few thousand years. And we see the same clever design in dinosaurs. What else? There's all kinds of clever designs in dinosaurs. Here's another one. This is a sauropod. What bone do you think this is? No one's saying vertebra. Where's my A student? Did you say vertebra? Oh, okay. A minus. Vertebra, that's your backbone. So this is one vertebra, and you can see the plug-in for scale. And so look at the hole here, this cavity here. And you could look at the raised ridges. So you have holes, cavities, raised ridges. You even have you have little empty spaces inside. What do these do? Well, they help save weight. You see, if sauropod vertebrae were the same shape and size, well, same shape as theropod vertebrae, which are, they're like little blocks, solid blocks. I'll show you one in a minute. If it was the same size, he'd have this whole 30-foot-long neck with a bunch of solid blocks, and he'd try to lift his neck in order to eat the branches, and he wouldn't lift his head off the ground. He'd be kind of dragging and sagging, and he wouldn't be able to eat his dinner, and then he would die. And it's tough to evolve when you're dead. Can you throw me that water bottle? Thank you, sir. It reminds me of my bicycle that I love to ride when I find a chance, with holes, hollow tubes, all designed to save what? Clever design. Here I am in South Dakota. I'm looking at a rock shop, and I found this dinosaur, hadrosaur egg fossil for sale. And I picked it up, and I was like, this is going to be great. I'm going to buy this, and I'll bring it with me when I speak on dinosaurs. And I turned it over, and the price tag said $400, so I put it back down. And I said, but before I put it down, I talked to my friend. I said, take my picture, man, so I can at least show the picture, because this is the ultimate, in my mind, of clever design. And if you want to test how good of a designer you are, and you guys, you've used Lego blocks, right? You've designed some cool things with Lego blocks. Not this cool. Here's your assignment.
Oh, Mr. Designer.
You design an object that fits in my hand, and after so many months or even weeks, whatever's in this egg, you make an egg, whatever, you can have a yolk, you can have albumin, you can have whatever you want to put in this, but whatever you do, it's got to turn into a dinosaur at the end of the time. So a few months later, I want a dinosaur to hatch out of this. Turning yolk into a dinosaur? That's what they did. That's our God. That's what God can do. That's the clever design demonstration whenever he builds these things to unfold protein by protein, molecule by molecule in there so that you can get a little cutie baby dinosaur. All the ladies, oh, and all the husbands,
they grow up and eat people.
No, but he would hatch out. That is incredible design. Does God have anything to say about designing creatures? Absolutely. Genesis chapter 1 says, and God made, not Satan, not nature, but that's what the TV tells us. That's what the museum attendant told me. They're saying the same story. Nature does it. Just give it time. As if time accomplishes anything on its own. All time does is give a thing a chance to wear down. God made the beast of the earth. Hey, if anything qualifies as a beast of the earth, wouldn't it be a dinosaur? I mean, I think it would be. And so clever design is exactly what we'd expect if Genesis chapter 1 is true. And that's the first clue. Now, the second clue He's going to come right up after I talk about the phrase after their kind. It's a very important little phrase repeated 10 times in Genesis chapter 1. God said He made it after their kind, and so I think maybe the Ceratopsian is a dinosaur kind. And so these creatures had the reptiles, and they were dinosaurs because the legs go straight down, and four legs on the floor, but short neck, and a shield, a head shield. So that's what makes a Ceratopsian kind. And you know, for all I know, God could have made just a few Ceratopsians, and they could have had the genetic potential to, generations later, give rise to big ones, small ones, some that have three horns, named what? Triceratops, Torosaurus, some that had 12 horns. Look, this one had horns on top of horns. Some had no horns. And so, adornments, for whatever reason, to display the creative majesty of their maker. But look, they're all the same basic kind. So, after their kind is what we see in the fossils. And that's exactly what Scripture says. God made these things to reproduce after their kind. And then two of every kind, God says, He brought them to Noah. Noah brought two of every kind up on the ark. And so I think maybe Noah brought dinosaurs on the ark. We'll talk more about that in a second. Second clue, say it out loud if you would, catastrophic death. Oh, I'm sorry, this one's so depressing.
Death.
But we got to get through it. It's like eating your okra. You must eat the okra on your plate. Dinosaurs did suffer catastrophic death. In fact, that's the number one most obvious clue from dinosaur remains is that they formed fossils. And the only way they could have formed into a fossil is if they were totally covered in mud. Totally covered in mud. And then that mud dried. The dried mud turns into solid sedimentary rock. And the creature inside is kept from getting scavenged. Now, this doesn't happen when the cow dies in the field, does it? Raccoon dies. Do you guys have raccoons out here? I think raccoons are everywhere. You guys have armadillos? Unlucky. They're so cool. When an armadillo dies, they die all the time because they're dumb. But anyway, scavenged. So they get scavenged. And the leg will be over here, and the head will be over there. And I know this is gruesome, but we got to eat our okra. And the bacteria will get what the scavengers don't. They're not turning into fossils today. Not on the seafloor. Fish don't turn into fossils. Dead clams don't even turn into fossils. Even the clam shells are eaten by special worms that love to eat clam shells. Delicious. They're not turning into fossils. None of these things. They're getting recycled. Why didn't he get recycled? This is a Camarasaurus. Say it. He didn't. He suffered a catastrophic death. Like me, I'm about to suffer a catastrophic death. No, this is what happens when you give your camera to a stranger and say, "Can you take my picture?" And he doesn't count down. He just mashes the button, and you're waiting for him to count down. But I'm there at the Hill City Museum. I know it's hard. You guys in the back, you can't see it all. I'm so sorry. Here's what I look like. That's what I look like there. But I'm about to be eaten by this T-Rex, 7-ton theropods, 7 tons. And he's walking around, and the river overflows its banks. This is what the placard at the museum said in South Dakota. I was there. And so the T-Rex kind of thought, well, I'm getting old, and this river's going to take me down. He didn't get scavenged. How did he turn into a fossil? Listen, catastrophic death, that's what explains this. So catastrophic was his death that the mud was moving faster than he could run. Otherwise, what would he have done? He'd step right. He's 7 tons. He'd just go,
mud, I don't care.
No, the mud came. It was more than 7 tons. It was more powerful than him. Otherwise, he would have powered his way out. We're talking about mega catastrophe. You remember 2 years ago, the Japanese tsunami where the water just came coming up into those cities in Japan? That didn't bring hard. That brought a little layer of sediment like that. We're talking about mud moving so fast with such force that he was buried. And guess what got buried with him? Clams. All kinds of sea creatures. Fish. Mammals. Turtles. Frogs. Plants that look just like today's plants. All rolled up and buried in the same mud layer that turned into rock that now has dinosaur bones in it. So catastrophic death is the second clue. Who remembers the first clue? If you do, say it out loud. Clever design. Catastrophic death. These are the clues I wish I knew. Here's a fossil cycad. And what's a cycad? It's an ornamental plant. You guys have it out here. And some people have it in Texas. And I'm so happy that 2 years ago, In-N-Out Burger made it to Dallas. Because I get to drive through In-N-Out Burger and look at the cycad plants that they've planted at the drive-thru because they're dinosaur plants. And I say, kids, let's go get some In-N-Out Burgers. And they're excited about the burgers, and I'm excited about the plants. And I drive through. I have five kids. They're all teenagers. They're wonderful. And, okay, Dad, let's get some drive-thru. Okay, what do you call these plants, guys? I don't know, Dad. They're like some kind of special plant or something. Come on. They're dinosaur plants. They're cycads. And look the same today as they look back then. And that's the look I get whenever I drive through the drive-thru. Dad, what are you doing? That's my oldest daughter, Semper, and she's next to a cycad. They look the same today as they looked when they were buried alongside dinosaurs. Same with palm trees, ferns, and even grasses. Grass remnants are in there with dinosaurs, despite what you see in the textbooks. The textbooks have not caught up to the science. On your screen, you see this picture of a fossil that we have in our offices in Dallas. Please come visit us if you're coming our way. We have it up on display. And it's a Sinosauropteryx. Say that. You cool teenagers in the back row, you're allowed to say the dinosaur names. You're not too cool to say them out loud. There's like one guy saying them back there. Thank you. A students. Two A students. The rest, C's. Sinosauropteryx. Actually, this is interesting. Sinosauropteryx was found in China. This is a Chinese fossil dinosaur. Had the longest tail to body ratio of any dinosaur. Full grown, the size of a turkey. A lot of dinosaurs were small. Some dinosaurs full grown were the size of a mouse. The average size of a dinosaur was about the size of a dog. Maybe a small pony. That's the average size of a dinosaur. So by the way, they would have easily all fit on the ark, just in one little corner of the ark. We'll talk more about that in a second. Now, that's a dinosaur, but that's not, I'm thinking. Okay? So that's got fins, and it looks fishy. And he looks like he lived in the water, but the dinosaur probably did not. He lived on the land. See, science is so easy. See him legs? He walked on land. See him fins? He didn't. They didn't live together, but they died together. Because they're in the same rock layer. The same layer of mud. So here's what I think must have happened. Maybe a catastrophic death scenario where muddy mud carried by wet water came up on land, brought sea creatures with it, rolled them up with land creatures, and then spread them out. And so that's what we have. And by the way, the same dinosaur bones are found in Europe. And over there, they have a different name for it, Compsognathus. And so those are the little creepy ones that ate the fat guy in the dinosaur movie, Jurassic Park. But it's the same creature, two different names. Why? Because as a scientist, you only get a paycheck if you get a publication. And you only get a publication, in many cases, if you can do something original. And if you can name something an original name, then you can get it published. And therefore, you can feed your family, which is handy. But the problem is that you end up with a lot more dinosaur names than actual dinosaur kinds. You see the difference? The dinosaur names don't correspond to genus kinds. There's a lot more names. There's about 300 or so dinosaur names. I think probably only 60 basic dinosaur kinds. But catastrophic death is exactly what happened. Morbid scientists only 4 years ago or so did a series of studies to try to find out what is it with long-necked creatures in the fossil record. They're always having their neck arched back. Even this one did. Neck arched back. His head is totally turned upside down. The Sinoceratops. And even the large sauropods, 30-foot long neck, arched back. Why are they always arched? Why is that? Well, so these creepy scientists put a bunch of chickens under some mud. And then they uncovered the dead chickens, and they found that the chickens were arched back. And so what they found is that when you're choking on mud, you're asphyxiating. And so these creatures were choking, asphyxiating, and then their spinal cord was having this particular kind of reaction. So any long-necked creature, very typically, it's got this arched back. Can you say catastrophic death? I mean, that's like put a chalk line around the crime scene and, you know, do your forensic investigation. And he died quick. He died suddenly. He died catastrophically. Is there anything in the scripture that might deal with catastrophe, water, mud, and dying creatures? I'm putting these clues together. I wish the museum attendant had done this with me, but she didn't. Look at these jumbled bones. And guess what else is in here? Little fish bones. Fish. This is the one in Utah, the Dinosaur Valley National Monument. Is that what it's called? Yeah. Dinosaur National Monument. And so these paleontologists, they can see the fish bones and the clams and the sea snails and the mammal bones. Mammal bones, yep, they're in there. But the big ones, the spectacular ones, are the dinosaur bones. And those are the ones that end up in the museums, not all the other little ones. But it's definitely catastrophe. Watery catastrophe. Yeah, Genesis says this. It says in 7, and the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth. And all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered with water. That's what the Bible says. Now, if the Bible's flood, if the Noah's flood is real, what would you expect to see? But billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. And that's exactly what we see. Billions of dead things. We're standing on them, I think. I better be careful, because if you go to Canada, you're standing on granite and there's no fossils underneath you. But all over Texas, where I usually speak, there's a bunch of fossils underneath me. Anyway, they're all over the world, just like you'd expect from a worldwide flood. And you know, by the way, it says all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. Does that mean that the Himalayas were underwater? Well, sort of. But the Himalayas were created by the flood. So in Dr. John Morris's office, which is two doors down from mine at our facility in Dallas, he has a fossil ammonite, an extinct sea creature, taken from the peak of Mount Everest, the very top of Mount Everest, was underwater, just like we'd expect from this verse. But that peak had been uplifted by late flood catastrophic events. These are the high hills that existed before the flood started. Those are the high hills that were covered. And then as the waters drained off, you have a lot of tectonic movement and you have mountain building happening right there at the end of the flood, which took how long? It took a year. It's a year-long deal. So catastrophic death from Noah's flood. So some people are saying, well, that means dinosaurs must have got on the ark. And how could they have fit? You know, the skeptics, they'll say, ark, whatever the ark. There's no way you could fit 300 different dinosaurs on the ark. Well, you don't have to fit 300 dinosaurs. You just have to fit the basic kind. That's 60. How big were they? Dinosaurs were huge. You got to have fit 200 sauropods. No. 200 dinosaurs, the average size of which was a small pony. That's hilarious. So this is, I'm going to compare the Ark to the Wyoming, which is a ship built in 1909. It was wrecked in a storm in 1925. Its wooden hull, 330 feet long. The Ark was about 450 feet long. Very feasible, very doable. The Ark didn't have to go anywhere. It just had to float. And in fact, the dimensions of the Ark reach the perfect balance between three competing issues. Hull stability, not too skinny so it won't break. Capsizability, a box is the most stable. But if you have a perfect box, then you have creature discomfort because a box gets rocked. So it had the perfect balance between those three competing forces. Perfect, right in the middle. And God knew exactly what He was saying when He gave Noah these instructions to build this ark. The word ark just means box. It doesn't necessarily mean ship. Okay, so all these dinosaurs could have fit in a corner of the ark on one of the three decks inside there. No problem at all. And so those dinosaurs got off the ark, and they repopulated the new earth, and they spread out and made new little dinosaur populations after the flood. Where did they go? They're not in my backyard. I think it has something to do with my third clue. And if you'd say it out loud, I'd feel real special. Clashes with dragons. Dragons. Okay, and I'm not going to talk about Barney because he's silly. And I'm not going to talk about Jane and the Dragon, the cartoon, because that one's a green, big fatty with a little bitty wings. Everyone over 30 is going, what are you talking about? Yeah, so Jane and the Dragon is a cartoon dragon. And so it's got these little bitty wings, and it's a dragon, you know, and it flies around. I don't think that's feasible. It wouldn't work. But I do think that the word dragon came from some real creature. The reason I start to think that is because I see the word dragon in ancient literature all over Europe. And they used that word dragon over and over again for hundreds of years. And it's even in some of the older translations of the Bible into English. So King James uses the word dragons several times. So whoever translated it into King James, they must have still been familiar with living dragons. What were they? Did people really encounter some large reptile-like creatures? If people really did encounter maybe post-flood dinosaurs, they had names for them. They might not have used the name dinosaur because the name dinosaur wasn't invented till 1842. So we wouldn't expect them to use the word dinosaur. They would have used whatever word they came up with in their language. And all these cultures, China, every tribe of North America, Central America, South American Indian, has their own word for these giant creatures that they encountered. They even still remember the name of the dude who slew the dragon. So we have dragon slayers and legendary stories all over the world, every continent. Where did these come from? What would we expect to find if people really did encounter dragons or some kind of large reptile creatures in the relatively recent past? I would expect that they would have written it down because it would have been a memorable event. I would expect that they would have remembered it. I would expect that maybe they would have painted it or carved it or depicted in some way the creature, the memorable, toothy, large, scary, fearsome creature that they had encountered. Like a totem pole. And so this is from South America. It's really genuinely ancient. It's got this long neck, long tail, and a guy who's piercing it in the back there. We have these Acambaro figurines, long neck, long tail, legs that go straight down, or at least a little bit sort of straight down. I don't know what this is. It doesn't look like anything in the zoo. What is it? What about this tapestry in Chateau du Blois in France? Finished in 1491 AD. So you can see that this has got scales, so it's a reptile. It's got claws and teeth, long neck, long tail, legs that go like an alligator? No, legs that go straight down. Looks very dinosaurian to me. And do you see the little baby? Isn't he cute? Right there he is. And he grows up and eats you. Which is why they were hunted. This is a hunting chateau. It's like the prince built it, with extra money he had laying around. And they would go out to this remote area and stay in this lodge, and they would literally hunt. And what else is in this tapestry? Regular animals, including deer, foxes. So it's not like it's, unicorns and weird things. It's just another animal in the picture. Were they looking at Scelidosaurus, which we know from fossils? Were they looking at it alive whenever they made that tapestry? Or this at Chateau du Chambord with the long neck, long tail, legs that go straight down? Were they looking at something real, like maybe Plateosaurus, whenever they depicted that and carved it in the rock? And what about this from Cambodia? Look at closely at this. This has got a bull. It's got a monkey, a parrot, all on this column, which was covered in jungle until about 15 years ago. It was rediscovered, this whole stone city there. What dinosaur does that look like to you? Stegosaurus? Maybe they were looking at a stegosaurus. What about this Egyptian palette? They depict a bull, people, okay, and then something with really long necks. Necks that are intertwined. Maybe they were looking at the same thing these guys were looking at on this Carlisle Cathedral in the north of the United Kingdom. Bishop Bell is buried there, and they've got a brass fillet rim around this. It's faded because people have been walking on it for 500 years. But you can still see enough of it to where there's tail, legs that go straight down, and two long necks intertwined. I wonder if they're looking at the same sauropod dinosaur-like creature that the Egyptians were looking at, and maybe even in the Middle East, these Mesopotamians, which made this seal, once they press it into the clay, it would have left this impression, long neck, intertwined tail. I mean, how can these guys be looking at this? I mean, are they all imagining the same exact thing, including behavior with the necks? I think maybe they were looking at some real creature, and they called it dragons or something like that. Even in Utah here, this friend of mine, Daryl Robbins, went and took photos of this. And you could see this has been carved into the rock. It's got a long neck, long tail, and some strange number of legs. Real people. You know, people are like stick figures in these, and there's deer and other things. Were they looking at Diplodocus whenever they carved that into the rock in Utah? And it's now gone extinct because of their legends of the dragons that were slain here in the United States. Here's in Ontario, Dr. Clary, who's our new geologist, took several photos of this, and he thinks it's fascinating. Painted on red, painting in red on rock. Here's a canoe with about eight dudes in it. Here's some giant snake, and here's some creature with horns, dermal frills, these little spiky skin flaps on the back of the spine. And oops, I got to go faster. Were they looking at this? I don't know. And then so we took a trip to Painted Cave because I go backpacking every year. So 2 years ago, me, my son, and some guys went here. And it was grueling and I almost died. But I got the pictures. And so looking and zooming in, I'm wondering, what is that? I'm wondering, what is this? And I still don't know. I'm still looking at these things going, the legs go straight down. I'm not sure what it is. It's either a dinosaur or a kangaroo or I don't know. But this is like a wolf type thing. There's a dude with spiky hair. Okay. So we're still looking at these things. But what were they looking at? Were they all hallucinating the same creature? Was Marco Polo, Alexander the Great, Daniel in the Catholic Bible, St. George and the Dragon? Or I was talking one-to-one group, and a friend of mine was in the audience. He came up and he said, "This reminds me of my native Poland." He speaks with a thick Polish accent, which I can't imitate. But he said, "In Poland, we have Smok Wawelski, and their word for dragon is Smok, S-M-O-K." And okay, well, there's yet another one. So these legends are literally all over the world, and I think that clashes with dragons is exactly what we should expect if the book of Job is true. Because in Job chapter 40, it says, "Look now," God is speaking to Job, "at the behemoth which I made with you. He eats grass like an ox, strength is in his hips." Later on it says he's the chief of the ways of God, and it says he moves his tail like a cedar. To me, this is the biggest creature that ever lived on land was a sauropod dinosaur, the chief of the ways of God. And I think that his tail does remind me of a cedar. And if you look in your Bibles, often the translators put little notes at the bottom. Sometimes the Bible translator notes for that one says, probably a hippopotamus. Hippopotamus. And so I'm thinking about the hippopotamus translator note when I went to the zoo. And I watched the little hippo tail flap, you know, thing. And he uses his tail flap to do gross things and nothing about the hippo tail reminds me of a cedar tree or any kind of tree. And so I don't think it was a hippo at all. I think the translators should talk to me. I think it was probably something else. His bones are as strong pieces of brass, bars of iron. Good description of sauropod dinosaur. Clue number four is a little bit sciencey, but say it out loud and we'll go through it. Collagen decay. And so collagen is the name of a protein. It's part of what makes your skin tough. It's also in your bones. It's what makes your bones resilient and bendable yet strong. Okay, it turns out that collagen protein is in dinosaur bones. Shouldn't be there, because the maximum lifespan at reasonable Earth surface temperatures is 900,000 years. But these dinosaurs, I was told, are supposed to be millions of years old. Well, after even 1 million years, all the collagen would have spontaneously fallen apart and turned itself into dust after less than 1 million years. There's no way this stuff should be there. And yet there it is. So Dr. Mary Schweitzer, I'm going to show you a video clip. She broke open a T-Rex femur that her team had excavated from the badlands of Montana. And here's what she found.
Put some fragments of the bone in acid to dissolve away the outermost layer of mineral. But the acid worked too fast, and all the mineral dissolved away. Being a fossil, there should have been nothing left. But there was, and it was elastic, like living tissue.
This is the piece.
No.
She showed us video she took under the microscope.
That's really what happened?
Yes.
That's the dinosaur bone?
Without mineral now. That's what was left.
It looked like the soft tissue she would have expected to find if it had been modern bone. This was impossible. This bone was 68 million years old.
So you see this and you think, what? You
say, I didn't want to tell anybody.
You'd be ridiculed,
yes.
Right?
And so I said to my technician, okay, do it again. I don't believe it.
And yet, in sample after sample, they were there. Things that look suspiciously like flexible, transparent blood vessels. She finally mustered the courage to tell Jack.
She found more in this dinosaur. And I found more. Look at these. I mean, she even found DNA in the nuclei of these bone cells called osteocytes. It's incredible. She's detected all kinds of vertebrate-specific proteins as though it's still just a few thousand years old and locked inside this bone. Shouldn't be there at all if it's 1 million years old. I've found about 50 in the secular literature, reports of original tissues in fossils all over the world. The stuff looks young all over the world. That's what I would expect to find. Like this one, where you've got a Cetacosaurus skin fibers still there. And look, zooming in on this Mosasaur, technically not a dinosaur, but still supposed to be millions of years old. And what did they say? Traces representing visceral organs, including hemoglobin. And it's still colored red. The scientists thought maybe iron was magnetized in here. But no, they found red blood, dried down residue, still in this, in from Kansas. Incredible. And all these different finds all over the world. But none of them should be older than 900,000 years, and all of them have these false age assignments of millions of years. This is what I would expect from the words of Jesus, where he said, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Who is he talking about, male and female? Adam and Eve. So this is what Jesus said, remember. But millions of years after the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. Is that what he said? No, no. But from the beginning, the creation week was the beginning. Day six, God made them male and female. And then he quotes Genesis chapter 2. So Jesus trusted Genesis as though it was straightforward history. I see no reason why we shouldn't, especially since we have collagen decaying still in these bones, in these fossil bones. Supposedly just pure mineral. They're not. They still have original tissue in them. They even have carbon, and the carbon is decaying. So that's what I thought, because I would present this and people would say, no, I just don't believe that that's actually in there. I'm like, how can you, what? It's like red meat still in the bones. And people just can't get past this idea that fossils are mineral. Fossils are mineral. It's been pounded into us way too much. And so I thought, well, maybe there's some other time clock still ticking away inside there. And so I looked for carbon-14. Every dinosaur bone sample that I sent to the lab just this spring returned what? Carbon-14. It shouldn't be there at all because carbon-14 spontaneously decays. It turns into nitrogen and does so with a maximum shelf life of 100,000 years. So here's me scraping off some sample from a hadrosaur vertebra, and I took a hammer, cracked it open, scraped some of the inside stuff, sent it to the lab, and I got from hadrosaur, triceratops, acrocanthosaurus, tachycosaurus, diplodocus, stegosaurus, all these samples, multiple samples of some of them. I've got five hadrosaurs, five triceratops. Friends are giving me dinosaur bones, and we're carbon dating them, and all of them return plenty of carbon-14 still in there, only possible if it's younger than 100,000 years old. Can't be a million years old. Can it be 4,000 years old? Well, yeah, because 4,000 years is younger than 100,000 years. Can it be 4,500 years old, the approximate date of the flood, according to Scripture? Sure can. So, these are the five clues that I wish I had been told. I think if every thinking Christian were exposed to these clues, they would have no problem putting the pieces together and concluding that there's no challenge to Scripture. In fact, dinosaur science confirms what the Bible says about history. We can trust it. We can believe it. So, what do you do? Unfortunately, we ran out of materials because I've been looping around speaking at different churches around California, and we've given away all of our materials. And so that's a disservice to you. So you're going to have to go find them yourself. So you got to go to our website. So it's icr.org. That's the Institute for Creation Research.org, icr.org. And you can find free articles, and there's a sign-up. And we want you to sign up for our free monthly magazine, totally free. And it's called Acts and Facts. It tells you what we're doing, our acts, and it gives you some information, some facts in the form of articles. And so that comes out for free every month. And that way you can stay connected with us. And look, moms, dads, you got to get educated. You got to start laying brick by brick foundation of truth, creation truth for our kids. And we've got to start learning this stuff month after month. So subscribe to the magazine. In fact, why don't you decide right now when you're going to go to your computer and go to icr.org. You could be doing it on your phone right now. But I don't see you doing that. Because I'm too captivating a speaker. I understand. So icr.org, get involved. And remember, five clues that demonstrate that dinosaurs can be pieced together. The clues all fit with the Scripture. You can trust the Bible. Thanks.